well. Now, let's get into the Word. Take your Bibles if you have them. Turn to Psalm chapter 119. The good things about the Psalms is usually if you just kind of open up your Bible to approximately the middle, you'll be right there in the Psalm. So it makes it extra easy today. Or for you electronic Biblers, you just swipe your way over. There's no middle, whatever it may be. But Psalm 119, put your finger there. We're going to come back to it in just a minute. When I was growing up in high school, wrestling was my favorite sport, was my focus sport that I know that's no surprise to you looking at me today, but that's right. I don't even have the ears to show it, but whatever. So I enjoyed wrestling, put a lot of time and effort into it, and you know, wrestling is one of the odd things about being on the wrestling team is there are various weight classes, and an hour or two before the match, the teams gather and you weigh in, and if you're wrestling at the 152-pound weight class, which was kind of my area where I landed, you have to weigh in at no more than 152 pounds, and if you are 1 ounce over and tip the scale over, you have to do whatever you can do in the next half hour to come in underweight, or you forfeit, your team loses that match and loses the points. And so wrestlers will do this crazy thing, this foolish thing that we encourage high schoolers to do of watching their weight, cutting their weight, losing weight. They'll run all week long trying to stay underweight. And one of the tricks we know is that food doesn't weigh all that much, but water does. And so, to come underweight, one of the easiest things to do is to not drink very much water and to save yourself water weight. And then, go exert yourself using every muscle in your body for 6 minutes to try not to get pinned by the opponent. Not the brightest thing we could do, but anyways, you know, we all enjoy a challenge, right? And so, we would purposefully dehydrate ourselves and then put on sweatpants and sweatshirts and whatever else and go run mile after mile trying to sweat even more and then wrestle for 6 minutes. And so we had this phenomenon that we referred to as cotton mouth. I know, you were hoping not to think and see disturbing images in your mind and think such disgusting things when you came to church today, but hey, we got to get real, right? And it feels exactly as it sounds. You just imagine taking a cotton ball, putting it in your mouth, chewing on it for a few seconds, and that's what it feels like when you are dehydrated and you're pushing yourself and exerting yourself, and all you want to do is take a drink of water, but you can't. Cotton mouth, we called it. And I wonder if followers of Jesus who show up to church faithfully every Sunday and maybe pray a couple of times throughout the week, but we never really spend time with God himself, never really crack open our Bibles and read and have an experience with God through his word through the week, experience a kind of spiritual cotton mouth where we are dehydrated through the week. And in these 5 weeks, we are doing everything we can as a church family to encourage you to take your Bible seriously and to spend time with God throughout the week with your Bible open, ready to hear from God himself. Last week, we shared the results of a study. An 8-year study of over 100,000 people around the world found this, that people who spend take four times with their Bible each week, four encounters with their Bible, they feel better about their relationship with God. In fact, the survey showed that folks who spent four times a week with their Bible, their odds of feeling spiritually stagnant drop by 60% versus other folks who just kind of maybe have a couple of interactions with God with their Bible, or maybe you're just doing the once a week thing at church. On a positive side, folks who spend four times with their Bible each week have an active faith, and their odds of helping someone else in someone else's faith increases by 218%. Now, there's lots of other statistics. If you missed last week, go back and you can watch that later. But here's what they found. The common thing was when we spend time in our Bibles four times a week, our spiritual life just changes. We go from this inactive, dry faith to an active, vibrant, growing faith in Jesus. If we will pick up our Bibles a few more times than just that Sunday after Sunday weekend encounter. And so we are doing everything we can to encourage you to spend time with God in your Bible. What do we do in those seasons where we're just feeling spiritually dry? Where we're trying to read the Bible, but we're just not getting anything out of it. And chapter after chapter, we want to hear something from God, but we're just not. And it feels like we're just checking off the box, checking a box of obligation. What do we do then? We're going to talk about that today. We're going to get to Psalm 119 in a minute, but here's an example of something a person feels. Here's an example that'll help us go in that direction. Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. Just imagine this in your mind, if you will, this beautiful poem turned into a worship song written by King David. Look at this, Psalm chapter 42. Let me read this to you there. As the deer pants for streams of water. Do you see that? As the deer panting for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. And then look at this last line here. When can I go and meet with God? Even in this verse, these couple of verses here, there is a hint at what we do, a hint to understanding just how it is that we can have an active and vibrant faith. The approach and the mindset that we need when we open up our Bibles that can change everything. Well, in these weeks, we're not just sharing. I want to do more than just share my own perspectives and stories, but to have many of our church family to share their stories as well. And so last week after church, Tanya came to me and said, can I share my story of how the Bible means to me and how my faith has grown? And so today, we're going to hear Tanya's story. And so check out and be inspired by her story.
This is my Bible. It's the first Bible I received. And I remember having a children's picture Bible, well, like children's stories. But this is my first Bible where I started spending time with the Lord in the morning. And it's interesting to see how I have different colors in here. Representing different seasons of my life. I kind of think back and go, oh yeah, I remember that. And I've used different colored pens with notes in the margin. So my faith journey started long before that. My mom went to the Russian Orthodox Church. And I remember just the reverence that I felt there. And I loved the communion bread. It was great. It was somebody knew how to make bread. It was so wonderful. But the one thing that my mom, she's so funny, we'd have to go up at the end of the service to kiss the priest's ring and the cross. And she said, "Don't kiss the ring. He's just a man. Jesus is our high priest in heaven. Kiss Jesus in your heart, and don't kiss the cross either." She said, "You know, Jesus rose from the dead. He's not on the cross anymore. He's alive in heaven, and we're going to see him someday." And then she said, "And besides, there's germs on there. Don't kiss it. Just don't kiss it." And I'm like, "But Mom, what will people think?" And she said, "It doesn't matter what people think." She said, "It's what the Word of God says." And I think that is where it was the foundation of the lens, looking at life through the lens of Scripture and filtering everything through what the Word of God says. We have to access, I think, all modalities. So there's for me, I love to hold this and highlight it, and I have my journal out when I'm studying and taking notes. But also auditory, if you're more an auditory person, there's audio. You know, when you fall in love with someone, you want to spend time with them. And I can't get enough of Jesus, of his word. And the more you get into his word, the more hungry and thirsty you are. It's just, you just want more. You can't get enough because he just blesses you.
We'll post the longer version of her story that just includes so much great insight on Facebook this afternoon. But did you catch that one line that really helps to encourage us with the mindset that makes time in our Bible so much more than just Bible reading? She said, "When you love someone, you want to spend time with them." and I love God and I can't get enough. That is the key. That is the mindset that takes Bible reading from an obligation to something that we get to do in which we spend time with God Himself. So Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. It has 150 verses in it. And just a little bit of trivia there, if anybody ever asks, or just in case you ever care. It's long, okay? But here's the focus all throughout the 119th Psalm is the Word of God. Is how God has communicated to us. In fact, in almost every verse, there is a reference to the Word of God, or there's sometimes different words for it. Sometimes it's the Word, sometimes it's called a precept, sometimes it's God's law. Whatever it is, there are different words that refer to God's communication to us. Now, I know a lot of times we think of, oh, the law. That was like before Jesus, and the law is bad because grace is good. But that really wasn't the viewpoint of the law in the Old Testament. In fact, really the law is a blessing because it is God's communication to us. Think about it. How many other religions, folks are trying to just guess or trying to figure out what God wants. But for us, we've been blessed by God has revealed himself to us. Like he's told us just what he wants from us. And that is a blessing. It is a privilege when you get communication straight from God. And that's what this is. These are not just words on a page, but this is a message from God himself. And so this poem that is used in worship and in prayer is a reflection on how blessed we are to have God's words. In fact, let's just look at a couple of the ways that God's communication, God's word is described here. Starting in verse 97, here's what the psalmist says. Oh, how I love your law. Man, it's kind of weird if you just think of the law as a bunch of rules, to love rules, but that's not what he's saying here. He says, I love your law. I meditate on it all day long because I have a message from God, and so I meditate on God's message all day long. We see meditation, sometimes we get tripped up over that word. This is not describing some kind of Eastern religious approach to religion or anything, but to meditate on the word of God is simply to slow down. Not read it quickly just to say you got it, you read through it, but to read it slowly and to take it word by word and to think deeply on the words and what God has to say to us. And he says, all day long, I'm thinking about the message that God has given to me and what God might want to say to me personally. Verse 98, your commands, they are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. That one might trip us up a little bit, like a little bit arrogant there. More insight than all your teachers? Well, possibly he was a young man who had a lot of maturity to go, or possibly he recognized that his teachers were content with what they had already learned. Maybe he felt like his teachers knew what they knew and they didn't have anything new to learn. And what we discover, one of the things I really love, I didn't include it in Tanya's video, but later on she'll say, you can never plumb the depths of God's word. In other words, you will never get to a point where you have learned everything you can possibly learn from God through his word. There is always something new because you haven't read God's word in the place in life that you are right now. And so maybe he recognized that and that he could say, I have more insight than all my teachers. Or maybe his teachers were not applying the word of God to their own life. Look at verse 100. I have more insight than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. We talked about this last week. That in the end, the goal of reading our Bible is not just to gain more information, is not to become smarter, is not to be able to pass a Bible content exam, even though that would be important. That in the end, the goal of spending time and reading God's word is to live it. That it changes how we think and it changes what we believe and it changes how we act. That we bring our life in line with God's word, as you already heard, where we filter everything through God's word. But look at this last line here. Look at this. I love this right at the end. This, by the way, gets to the key for us today. What do I do when it just feels a little bit dry? For you yourself have taught me. Who's he talking to here? Not to his earthly teacher, he's talking to God. He says, for God, through your word, you yourself have taught me. I am the student and the teacher is God himself, and God himself has taught me. Here's what I want you to hear today. That when you open up the Bible, you are not reading words on a page, that you are hearing from God himself. That the God who is the author of life is giving us words from life, and we are the student and he is the teacher. I am the apprentice and Jesus is the master. And as I spend time with his word, I am hearing and being taught by God himself. And you and I, we need to be taught by God himself. If our whole life is to be brought in line with what Jesus wants for us, we need to sit at the feet of Jesus and have Jesus teach him. I hear people say all the time, oh man, I wish Jesus was around today that I could hear from him. Well, he left his word for us. In fact, if you have one of those red letter Bibles where they take the kind of the words that are definitely straight from the mouth of Jesus, put them in red, there it is right there. You can be taught by Jesus himself. Because after he left, he made sure that his followers wrote it down. People say, oh, I want a word from the Lord. I go one church to another seeking a prophet to tell me a word from the Lord. We have a lot of words from the Lord. We don't need to hear a new word from the Lord until we've spent time meditating and reading and hearing every word that he's already given to us. Here are the words, and they are the words from God himself. The key is to get personal with God. Let's keep on reading here. Verse 103. Look what he says. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. This is someone who has gotten personal with the Lord. Now today, Pastor Don, he was supposed to team preach with me, but he slithered out of it by getting himself a sinus infection this week, and he just got out of it. So I'm going to have to kind of fill in the gaps of some of the things he was going to share. But here's what he, as we took this passage and talked through it, here's what he shared with me. And then he brought a research article. He said that often senior adults, their tastes change, and they lose their taste for foods, and their sense of taste diminishes. And so water, which is already pretty tasteless, becomes just undesirable often to seniors. And he said, what will happen sometimes is seniors will often substitute other things that have a little more taste that taste a little bit better. And so seniors will substitute coffee instead of water or drink a lot of tea instead of water. But coffee and tea have a lot of caffeine and actually don't help with the hydration process. And he said that seniors can accidentally become dehydrated because they have substituted other things for water. What a great insight for God's word. How often have we read God's word and we think we know everything that it says? And, well, frankly, that new television show is just a little more interesting than God's word is. And we begin to substitute the TV show for God's word. Or could it be that we've read God's word and we're just not sensing anything new, learning anything new from it, and the bookmark in our Bible is not moving, yet the bookmark in our favorite novel is moving? The bookmark in our favorite historical fiction book is moving. The bookmarks in our textbooks are moving. The bookmark in our Kindle library, every other bookmark is moving and we're reading, but the bookmark in the Bible hasn't moved in a long time, and we are substituting other things that are more interesting and intriguing for God's word. If you find yourself substituting other information, other books that are just a little more enjoyable, I hear you. I feel you. There are times when it is hard for me to slow down, to find something new. But when we begin to substitute other things for God's word, we begin to become accidentally dehydrated ourselves. We've got to stay spiritually hydrated and soak in God's word. What do we see from the psalmist? Here's what I want you to go home with today, is that we get personal. David, writing these words and others, recognized that when he was reading God's word and when he was learning God's laws and God's statutes, he was not just gaining information. He was not just learning something, but he was getting personal with a personal God. God's word are not so much words on a page meant to be read as much as it is God's message that is meant to be heard and digested. Do you see the difference there? And God's message to us is not so much a concept to be studied as much as God's message is directions to be obeyed and to lived out. Here's the good news. Along with that, God is not just a general who commands us to obey him, but he is also a loving heavenly Father and a friend who wants to be known and loved. God wants to get personal with us, and the way that we engage with him is to get personal with him. There's always a temptation to kind of depersonalize it and see that these are words on a page, but God is a person who wants to be known and loved and obeyed. And when you open your Bible and you read, you do not just read words, but you get to hear from God himself. You yourself have taught me. Words of life from the author of life. You say, I want to hear from God. You open your Bible and you put yourself in a place to be heard, to hear from God. And so you find yourself in a place where it feels like maybe you've lost your hunger for God's word. What do? Ask a couple of questions. Am I living in disobedience? If I'm living contrary to what Jesus has clearly taught me, he's going to wait to teach me more until I begin to live what he's already taught me. If you're living in disobedience, it is going to be dry when you read the Bible because God's waiting for you to say yes to what he wants. Some of you might have a big decision to make in your life today to decide, am I going to live for Jesus or continue to live in disobedience? When you've lost your hunger for God's word, you ask yourself, am I skipping time with God? Am I substituting something else for God's word that's just a little more enjoyable? And finally, ask yourself, is my heart in it? Is it personal for me? Am I showing up ready to hear from God himself? Is my heart in it? Because God is a person, not an object. And he wants to be listened to be loved and obeyed. And we get to a point when that's our mindset, when that's our expectation, when that's our desire, where we say, the more time I spend with him, the more time I want to spend with him. The more time I spend digesting his word, the hungrier I get for more of it, because it is personal time with a personal God. You see, here's what we believe. Here's the mindset I invite you. Here's how you make it personal. You say, God, he's not just a force that's out there somewhere. God is a person. By that we mean that God has a mind. By that we mean that God has emotions and a heart and passion. By that we mean that God has a will. And so we want to tap into and understand and learn from the mind of God. We want to tap into the passion and the heart of God. We want to tap into the will of God. We are persons ourselves. We have a mind, we have emotion, and we have will. And God wants us to engage our mind in our relationship with him. He wants us to engage our emotions and our passions in our relationship with him. And God wants us to engage our will with him. In fact, what God really wants is for his will to so invade our lives that his will becomes our will. And as you spend time with God, you find that you want to do the things God wants you to do. And you don't obey just because you have to, but God changes your heart from the inside out, and that his will becomes your will. That can happen in your life, but it'll never happen until we are regularly spending time with God, engaging the mind of God, hearing the passion and the heart of God, and hearing the will of God, ready to say yes. So this week, here's your assignment. We are encouraging everybody. We're gathering on the weekends, and we're opening our Bible. That's one encounter with God through our Bibles. Now, three more times this week, I invite you to open up your Bibles again and have quiet in your own personal time. You can figure out three times where you can make an appointment with God. And what do we know? You make an appointment with God, you show up, God always shows up. He never no-shows the appointments you set with him. You show up, God's going to show up. I've been hearing so many folks sharing stories of spending time with God these last couple of weeks. And so in your bulletins, we have put we put a Bible reading schedule. We put some discussion questions for personal or your small groups. If you didn't get a bulletin today or you need one, or if your spouse has the bulletin and he tends to be very, you know, controlling of his Bible reading questions, you need your own, there's some in the back. As you go out, we'll help you find them. Grab yours. The last couple of weeks, I've heard stories of folks saying, yeah, I've been reading 1 Peter, 1 Peter 1, 2, and 3, and now we're in 2 Peter, and God's speaking to me. Come share with me. Come show me your verse afterwards that you highlighted, how God spoke to you. I want to hear it. I love it. Let's encourage each other. I heard about a small group this week that didn't even get to the rest of the discussion questions because Bible's open. They were just sharing all the verses that they had highlighted and how God spoke to them. There couldn't be a better small group setting than that, where we're just sharing what God has said to us, right? Because we're hydrating in God's word. This week, I'm going to push you to go a little deeper. It's going to be a little more difficult this week. We are going to continue on. We're in 2 Peter chapter 2 this week. Now, 2 Peter chapter 2, it's a tough one. It's deep. It could be a little confusing. And so instead of just kind of speeding right through it, we're going to take all week, all three appointments I'm going to invite you to spend in 2 Peter chapter 2 this week. And here's what we're going to do. There's directions for you in your bulletin, your little scripture thing there. The first appointment with God, we're going to engage our mind especially. Pastor Scott shared this with our staff. He's done this with the teens, and I thought, this is really good. This is a helpful way for us to think through it. So we're going to borrow it from the teens. You can do it. It's going to be good for you. So the first time reading, you're just going to read it and read it a couple times and engage your mind. And ask questions, okay? You say, what is that all about? I don't know what's that. There's a reference to some guy. What's that all about? And so you may need a study Bible, or you might want to Google a couple of names. We're going to really engage your mind the first time through and ask questions. The next day, your next appointment with God. And this time through, we're going to engage our heart. And simply just hear how God moves our heart, our passions, and our emotions. How God gets our attention. What do you find your heart going towards? How do you sense Jesus speaking to your heart? What do you like and what do you not like? What are you reacting to and connecting with? Write that down. That's the time to get out the highlighter and start highlighting and think, this is what I'm really connecting with. The third time through, we're going to read that same chapter again and really connect with your will. What is God asking me to do? When God says, live this way, what is God asking me to do or to change my viewpoint and my belief and how I approach something? We're going to read it through your will. You take one chapter, and you read it one time through and engage your mind. You read it through again and engage your heart. You read it through a third time and engage your will. God will get a hold of your attention and do something in your life. Try it this week and engage the God who gets personal. See, God is waiting for you to show up. Open up your Bible. Engage your mind, engage your heart, engage your will. Engage his mind, engage his heart, engage his will. And you make it personal with a personal God, and Jesus becomes your teacher. Your life begins to change, and you begin to regularly hydrate your soul. You'll never be the same. Try it this week. Worship team's going to come forward. As they do, let me just share this last little way that you can try to think through this. So the summer before my senior year in college, I was in a traveling singing group with our school. And we would go all over to youth camps and to churches and other church meetings all summer long. And so Erica and I had been dating at that point for about a year, year and a half or so. And I think that summer she had gone back to Iowa and was living and working there. And so we were kind of separated for the summer. And every now and then, so we would write letters back and forth. I don't think email was all that, you know, big of a deal yet. But so we'd write back and forth. So we'd be on the road for a couple of weeks, and we'd do a couple of camps, and usually it ended up on Sunday. We'd go to one church Sunday morning and sing another concert at church Sunday night, and then we'd drive 4 or 5 hours back to campus. We'd get back late on Sunday night. We were tired. We were exhausted, but it didn't matter. We'd get back to campus, drop everybody off. I'd grab the group van, and I'd go straight to the campus mailbox. Go up to the mail room, and I'd open my mailbox, and guess what I'm looking for? Not my credit card bill or any other mail. I'm looking to see if she wrote me a letter. And I take and I file through it, and I find the letter that she wrote, and I tear it open. Right there in the mailroom, I just read through the letter. What does she say? What is she doing? What did she do? What are all the crazy people she met at Walmart as she's working this week? And then I'd read through it again to see if there's anything else that I missed. Then I'd read through it a third time. And then we'd get back in the van, drive back to the dorm, and I'd read through it a fourth time. I knew what it said, but it didn't matter. I was in love. And I wanted to get everything that I could get and hear everything that I could hear. When you treat the Bible like a love letter from the God who loves you so much he gave his life for you, it gets personal. And when you make it personal, you're taught by God himself. And when you're taught by God himself, you can't get enough. And you hydrate your soul. On Sunday in worship, on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, whenever you set those appointments with God, and your life changes. Try it this week. Let's build that habit. The more you get of him, the more you'll want from him. It'll change your life. It'll change our church. It'll change the world. Stand with me. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are the master. We are the apprentices. Teach us. Train us. Show us the way we should go. Lord Jesus, for each of us today, I pray that you would create and show us the places in our schedule where we can set at least three appointments with you this week. And I pray that we would engage our whole selves, and that even in the process, we would feel that we are connecting with you as of two people who love and care for each other. Oh, Lord, help us to make it personal this week. Speak to us, we ask. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's raise our voices. Let's sing together today as we go out and just affirm the word of God is going to speak words to our heart this week. Lead us, guys. So as I think about this, we talked in terms of being an apprentice of Jesus. And I just wonder, as you've heard all this today, maybe if you're honest, you would say, I've really kind of just been, well, Jesus has been kind of an advisor in my life, but I haven't really gotten serious about really following Jesus, really sitting at the feet of Jesus and saying, okay, Jesus, I can't do this on my own. I need someone to lead me. What would it be like for you today to say, I'll sit at the feet of Jesus, and I'll call him teacher and master, and I'll let him teach and lead and guide me? What would it be like for you today to take a step in your relationship with Jesus and let him take the lead? Anybody here today who will commit your life to hearing from Jesus? If that's you today and God's been tugging at your heart, I'm going to encourage you today, just very simply, very quietly, in your own heart today, will you say this with me? Lord Jesus, teach me. You're the master. I'm your student. Lead me in your way, God. Guide me. You're smarter than me. You know better than me. Lead my life. I'll follow. That's you today, and God's working on your heart. Make that the decision of your heart today in your life, and live this week with Jesus. Let him take the lead. You'll have a better week. Life works better. And if we as a church can do anything to encourage you in that way, come find us, come share with us, come find Pastor Lauren afterwards, come find Pastor Scott afterwards, say, hey, pray with me, encourage me. We want to do everything we could do. I'll be out in the lobby, come find me. If that's you today and God's drawing you to sit at his feet, let him be the master. Come find us, let us pray with you and encourage you to take steps to follow Jesus. It's the best decision you'll ever make. Whatever we can do. If you need a Bible, we've got one of those. We'll give you one today. If you'll open it and hear and be taught by God himself, come find us at the Information Center. We want to encourage you to take steps in following Jesus. Let's sing out the rest of the song, and then we'll go have a great week of obeying Jesus.